I must follow the Lebanese resistance example, and added the Palestinian refugees must be given the right to return home. And he also criticized the Arab states for the insufficient help to Palestine. On the Iraqi issue, he said U.S. invasion of Iraq has brought destitution to Iraqis, and added that Americans are fomenting sectarian strife in Iraq, and then they are destroying Iraq, and their claim of bringing freedom to the country is absolutely baseless. And he said, finally, about Iraq, that cooperation and national unity is the only way to save the country of Iraq. And on the issue of Lebanon, he said that Olmert's government must be tried in an international court over crimes in Lebanon. And then he warned the Arab states against taking part in the Middle East conference. He said Israeli warplanes are flying over Lebanon and Palestine on a daily basis, and that Israel is speaking of peace, but it's beating on the drums of war. And he questioned the building of the Israeli armored units in Golan Heights. He went on to say the association of the March the 14th Front in Lebanon are carried out basically by the Israelis. And he said the killing of the Lebanese parliament members is an Israeli plot to divide Lebanese factions. And he said that the Israeli regime is fomenting civil strife in Lebanon. And he warned the Lebanese nation against them. Now, to tell us more on the issue, we are joined here in the studio by Mr. Nader Mukhtari. He's a writer and journalist here in Tehran. Mr. Nader Mukhtari, as always, very welcome to Press TV.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Arash.
Now, Mr. Mukhtari, what are your observations on the Hassan Nasrallah's comments as he was commenting on the main issues in the region?
Well, one of the things that he had not commented so blatantly before was the the lack of assistance by Arab regimes, which are seen to be Western-oriented in the region. And he tended to, for the first time, place the blame directly and squarely on Arab governments that did not in any way assist the Palestinian resistance in their struggle against Zionist occupation.
That's right.
So that is a first. He was quite axial about that. On other issues, he tended, there was no change on other issues. He tended to carry on with the same line that he's been talking about over the last few years. It was the same stern line against the United States. He accused Israel and the Zionist regime of carrying out the latest assassination in Lebanon. And he reasoned that Syria could not possibly be behind these, so there was a clear-cut issue there. But what he said most poignantly about Iraq was that he said, where is the freedom? And he said, people of Iraq, and this is people of Iraq used to live very well as the major oil exporter in the world, and ever since the U.S. invasion 2003, they've not only not had any freedom or democracy as such, they've had to make do with what he called packed lunches prepared by the very forces that are ripping the country apart. So he's very concerned. He talked on strategic terms about being there in the West, meaning the westernmost corner of the world of Islam. And he said if only other Arab countries join in and start their squeeze from the East, then we will succeed. He said we have done our job in the West, referring to the 2006 33-day war, and he said now it is up to them in the East.
And where is that supposed to be?
Well, he's talking about countries like Jordan, like the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, the countries that he tends to snipe at as decadent and pro-Western and not paying enough attention or mind to the Arab world, to the world of Islam in particular. He also sniped for the first time at the Arab practice of storing their national wealth in what he considers to be Zionist-run banks. And he said, well, we need this money to continue our resistance. What is this money doing in Western banks, where it shouldn't be? He, in a sense, said, you're fueling their economy and you are making them more capable of attacking us on a whim. These were mainly his comments.
That's right. Nader, Mr. Sayed Hassan Nasrallah referred to the Israeli preparation for a war. Now, what aim is this war preparation following?
Well, prior to the Israeli airstrike, recent Israeli airstrike on Syria, Israel had moved many, many armored and infantry divisions up to the Golan Heights. And no one quite had a clue as to what these tanks and preparations were for. Now, Hezbollah has been accusing the Israeli army of an attempted invasion of Syria or an attack on Syria. Israel announced in August that it was pulling out many of these divisions, but they have kept three armored brigades, extra armored brigades, up on the border. Presumably, this was to safeguard against any Syrian reaction after the airstrike. But then again, the Syrian reaction, or lack of it, has merely strengthened Hezbollah's argument that Syria is no warring party. Syria is not likely to go for knee-jerk reactions. And he threw a perfect parallel. He said, "But look, you've bombarded a Syrian base and nothing has happened. Syria has not come back at you militarily. But Israel did the exact opposite last summer. There were three soldiers who wandered into Lebanese territory, and they were killed in a firefight, or two soldiers were. And then you had Israeli tanks going in. Immediately afterwards, war was declared on Lebanon, and you had Zionist fighter jets over Beirut bombing the airport. I mean, and this was just ridiculous. You know, it's a major, major overreaction."
Now, Mr. Mukhtari, before you continue, I'm sorry, I just have to interrupt you because we just have less than 2 minutes, so I still have two
right,
more questions.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I want your comment on this. What he talked about, the Americans, to the sectarian, actually, strife as the main plot of the Americans, and also he talked about